most couples out there end up in like a what can only be described as a same shit different day routine of small talk, you know, bit of small talk at breakfast, go to work, bit of small talk at dinner, bit of small talk in between ads and TV, or you're flicking through social media in the evenings. If there's a little bit of a hump and a rump, a grunt, and a spurt at bedtime, bit of lovemaking, if that's what you're even going to call it, then it's bed and repeat. Small talk, breakfast, dinner, TV, social media, off to bed, snoring. The recent rebranding, renaming of this podcast from Kings of Freedom to Be the Husband She Brags About. The name is really calling to that aspirational identity that's in me, that's in you, that's, I believe, should be in every single husband out there, every single man that has chosen. And like, hats off to you, you're one of the guys that's had the courage to step into the arena, into the octagon of marriage with your queen. But it's to have this aspirational identity that, like, why would you not want to show up as the husband that she brags about? What it comes down to is, like, I do believe deep down every single man alive, you listening in, and it's like leaning in, you do want to be the man that your woman naturally just brags about. But it's the knowing how, it's feeling capable. It's like, do I have what it takes? That's the real issue. This habit that I'm talking about, and again and again and again, repetition is mastery. It's not that you lack a marriage of deep connection and sexual attraction. All you lack are the habits that produce deep marital connection and sexual attraction. So repeatedly going back to that, it simplifies the battlefield and builds hope into and possibility into what's available to you, not next year, not 10 years time, today. This habit that I'm talking about was one that came up, it came up in the pretty much the most intensely challenging moment in my relationship with my queen Matilda. What's it, about three and a half years ago at this point? It was when, like, it was breakdown, breakthrough. Now, I don't say it like I've mentioned before in the podcast here, if you're new to it, it'll be a fresh story to you, but effectively invited a guy into our family home for a number of weeks, and yeah, it just ended up, my woman, like, energetically became deeply attracted to this man. He was everything that I was not emotionally. I was an emotional barren landscape of, like, I was just a desert for the first 12 years. Good guy, great intentions, but just intimacy, like, knowing what was happening on my inside and being able to share that with my woman. I was a barren landscape. So this guy sort of met deeply unmet needs in my woman, and it became really apparent that this was devastating for my woman to sort of have this feeling of, it's not that she was in love with this man, but he reflected back to her the inner silent desperation that was in the background in her mind and in her heart, her soul's yearning for deep, intimate communication and connection with me. She loved me. I was, still am, the father of her children. But what she was yearning was intimacy. Into me, you see. And in the lack of that will drive a woman insane. Insane to the point at which she will leave a man she loves. But if that is lacking, that will drive her away. Or worse still, she'll just go, same shit, different day, put up, shut up, minimize and normalize, and just go with it. And she'll busy herself with focusing on problems and on small stuff and stuff that you're like, in your mind, and I touch base with you, do you ever find that your woman just is focusing on problems that you're like, that's not really important? You're like, you're focusing on a problem in the child's bedroom. Oh, we need to upgrade the child's bedroom or our bedroom. Get a new bed. Like, oh, we need to paint the walls again. You're like, they were just painted last year. Like, I mean, you're going to end up spending all this money. This is not necessary. you ever find that your woman focuses on stuff that to your mind is like, well, that's just not necessary, that's not needed, there's no problem here, but there she goes upgrading, redecorating, reshifting things around, or she obsessively focuses on your kids' performances, cool, you know, are they hitting the right levels of reading and maths and movement, and as kids, and, you know, it's like this obsessive focus, and there's a part of you that's like, just let them be. Or she's highly reactive with you in relationship and gossiping about friends, and in general your mind is, my God, she just focuses on problems. This focus on problems, this irrational focusing and obsessing on problems, is directly proportional to a lack of intimacy. When a woman's needs for intimacy with her king, and like, here's the thing, she loves you, she wants intimacy with you, not with other people. But you can sort of get quite critical and judgmental on your inside, or you might even criticize her quite severely on the outside. But, you know, touching base with yourself, did any of those signs show up for you in your woman? This incessant need to focus on problems of other people, focus on upgrading, keeping the house tidy, redecorating, removing the thing around, your kids. Does any of that ring a bell for you at times, that it's just deeply frustrating and you just can't find any understanding as to why the fuck she's focusing on that stuff? Well, here in this podcast, is like, it's direct talking. You know, the masculine core of us men, we grow by challenge. So I really want to set the challenge, and as always, as I challenge you, I'm challenging myself. It's like this individual and collective upgrading and challenging ourselves to step up as better and better men, be better husbands. If you resonate with those, I call them sort of like symptoms. See them as symptoms. It's not that your woman is dysfunctional. Actually, your woman is functioning perfect. That's just her nervous system showing that she's deeply irritated on the inside, and she'd rather have you to focus on. But if you're not sharing what's happening on the inside of you, if you're not letting her in, well, that frustration will end up being focused elsewhere. So I do challenge you to see them as symptoms of a lack of intimacy, and then you, the challenge to you is to focus and quadruple down on sharing yourself. So going by that simple definition of intimacy, into me you see, this habit was birthed, as I say, in this moment a few years ago when it was truly like breakdown, breakthrough. It was like my family was on the line, 12 years together, our whole life that we had created together, everything was on the line for me. So it forced me to sort of shut the fuck up and stand up as a man. I remember walking down the stairs one morning when I had realized just how badly it had gotten in the few weeks that this guy had been there. It's like I suddenly woke up in my relationship and had to king up. I literally had the thought in my head, it's like, Mark, you've got to step into your king. I've done a ton of masculine archetypal work where king, warrior, magician, lover, like it's standard language for me. At that time it was very atypical, but my mind knew, it was like, you've got to step into your king. And part of that, guys, was walking down that morning, and like never before in 12 and a half years of marriage with my woman, walked in, she was like, oh, good morning, hey, do you want breakfast? I was like, no, thank you, I need to go on for a walk with you, I need to go for a walk and I want to talk to you. And she was like, wow, no, kind of wait till afterwards, does it sort of seem serious? And I was like, no, it's not serious, but I just need to go for a walk, and I just have stuff to talk with you about. And she noticed my sincerity, and she was like, okay, cool. She got her jacket out, we went. And that was our first king and queen walk. This is what I call it, the king and queen walk. And with you together, it's like, I'm going to invite you to start looking at this idea as a really high leverage habit to implement and introduce in your life with your woman. The king and queen that walked that morning was ultimately speaking the unspoken. I started speaking what I was not sharing with my woman about those 2 weeks that that guy was there, it's like I was seeing the signs early on, but there was this nice guy part of me that was like, oh, but I don't really want to speak to this. This is awkward. This is going to be hurtful. It's going to bring up a lot of resentment. She's going to avoid it. She's not going to, like, I was avoiding it, but it wasn't just those 2 weeks. The nice guy persona in me was avoiding any and every sort of difficult topic. My mind was a master at avoiding what I thought were difficult topics. Difficult topics for me for those 12 years were any topic that risked bringing up. You name any of the, if you want to call them challenging emotions, commonly they're called negative emotions. I don't like that. Actually, negative, I mean, negative is a negative word. It's not a very positive word, obviously by definition, but they're not negative. The challenging emotions that, as a kid, touch base with you, you know, anxiety, grief, sadness, anger, aggression, resentment, guilt, shame, all of these emotions, and there are tons more of them. Were you ever conditioned or taught or allowed to feel those as a young boy? You know, did your dad or your mother hold space for you? Did the men in your life, your dad, your uncles, brothers, coaches, teachers, the day when you had like disappointment or a need to cry or you were hurt, you were down, did they wrap you up with conscious awareness and hold a safe space where you could actually touch base with your emotions? The honest answer for the vast majority of men, and when I say the vast majority, I'm saying like 99.99% of men, I've actually yet to meet a guy that goes, no, actually, my dad held space. He was like really emotionally literate. He held space for me. He allowed me cry. He allowed me share, like have moments where I could share my grief, my anger, my frustrations, all of that. I've yet to meet that guy. When I say 99.99, I'm quite sure there's a 0.01% of men out there that just had like an evolved dad that had done the work. They're few and far between. If you're one of those guys, I'm happy for you, but the vast majority, no, is the answer. A resounding no, fuck no. It was the last thing that was safe was to share our emotions. And hence, intimacy is a frightening thing, but there's an issue with the more you don't share the unspoken that's going on inside of you, all that shit that you know is building up, all that stuff, those frustrations about, ah, she's like, the way your woman is dealing with kids, the way your woman is obsessing about stuff around the house that you just don't agree, you don't think it's worth the time and energy, the way she's always gossiping, giving out about certain people, the way she wants or she relates with her mother or her father and how that's like just creating hassle between ye guys and she's not setting boundaries, whatever it is, and there's going to be a ton of stuff. Do you have like a nodding head? I want to touch there again. I want to touch base with you and get real that you're not passively listening to this. Are there unspoken parts in your mind that you're not sharing with your woman? That you're holding back? Yes or no? There again, 99.99% of the time, this is going to be, yeah, there's stuff that you're holding back. You're not saying, or you might sort of think to yourself, oh, but I've tried to say it, but, you know, I just get shut down. Well, here's why this practice is so powerful. Because the more you avoid intimate conversations, I'm talking about, you know, there's that high-low thing in the background, and you just avoid it, you avoid it, you avoid it. The more you avoid it, the only time it comes out is when you can't take the load anymore. When you're triggered that much, you haven't spoken it. I'll leave it off, you know. But just for the sake of peace, I won't speak to it. And then the same thing happens tomorrow or next week. You're a bit more pissed at this point, but you're like, oh, well, I'm a little bit too pissed to speak it. So, you know, maybe I'll circle back another time. But you don't circle back. And then a third time happens, and a fourth time on the same topic or similar type topics. And then at some point, you have a big, messy, shitty row. And in that moment, that's the moment when most guys, when they're, you know, being coached by me, or like I know for myself, that was the thing for me, when I was, if you want to say dysfunctional, highly dysfunctional in my relating with my woman, in those moments, I would sort of lay claim to, oh, well, you know, I did try to say it to her that time. You know, I did speak it. And most guys will say, it's like, oh, well, I have tried speaking to this before, but she just shuts me down. She doesn't listen to me. Blah, 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 blah. She just gets really reactive and she puts me down, criticizes me, or she just goes blank and avoids it and never wants to speak about it. Here's the thing. It's like, when are you expressing these things? Are you only expressing the unspoken when you get to a flash point of frustration when it's in an argument and your woman has brought some shit to you? Very regularly, women will speak to the thing first and like she'll accuse you or she'll dump some shit on you and you're like, you get this point where it's like, fuck you. And you just then at that point in a really messy, reactive, unsafe way, then you speak your so-called truth. If that's the case, well, that's just not conducive to building trust and relating in a safe way. And that's not honoring what's true for you. So instead of waiting for these intermittent, and it depends, like at different moments, you know, you can have arguments every couple of days or every couple of weeks, every couple of months, whatever it is, you'll find that there's normally a set pattern of an amount of time that goes by before you'll then have another one of these arguments. That's not the time to express it. The more you avoid intimate conversations and speaking to these things, the more you allow the build-up of a tsunami of building frustration for both of you in the background, which guarantees, from a psychological, mechanistic perspective, it guarantees that what you want to say, what you will say in those moments will not be received. So you just become a self-fulfilling prophecy. It's like, oh, well, she doesn't listen to me. Oh, but I've tried speaking it, but it never hits home. Well, cool. Same shit, different day. You keep doing the same thing, you're going to have the same result. The king and queen walk, or talk. You don't have to walk. We find it's really great to get out into nature. Is instead, it sort of flips the whole deep intimate communicating on its head. Normally that only happens at exceptional moments. You know, you're on holiday or the kids go for a sleepover to their cousins for 2 days, and even sometimes not. Even couples when they have those spare moments, they avoid it all the more with more busyness. Whatever it is like for you, that's okay, but there's an avoidance of intimate conversations in the vast majority of relationships. In the avoidance, the build of tsunami of frustration, it's so damaging. So you flip that on its head and you create a space where you and your queen, man and woman, husband and wife, you have a space set every day, I would say like a minimum of 10 minutes, where you share the unspoken. You speak. It's like, oh, I haven't been speaking this to you, and you share whatever's on your mind. You share the emotions. You share, oh, I'm actually feeling quite anxious about, you know, the idea of a job promotion coming up. I'm anxious that I won't get it, or I'm anxious I will get it and I won't be able for it, or it could change everything about my life around you. You speak to your fears, your anger. You give voice to the unspoken. The wonderful thing about it is when you set a daily habit of this, and it's set in stone, it's a habit, it's every single day it happens, you don't get the build-up of frustration. And you just get that every single day, with practice, you just get to speak to the first wave of anger, the first wave of anxiety, the first wave of frustration. You get to speak to it, and it's like if you didn't speak to it yesterday or the day before, the habit, that space, reminds you. It's like, oh honey, actually, you know, it was really annoying when you said this thing the other day in company and I didn't get to speak to it because, well, we were in company, it was in a party, but I really just wanted to let you know and say it now so I don't hold this frustration with me that it becomes a flashpoint. It's like, you said X, that made me feel Y, and hey, and now it's out. And then she gets to say, it's like, oh okay, sorry, I didn't mean for that to hurt you, or she can clarify. and this is two-way traffic. Because it's now a daily habit, and to form a habit, like, set it as your morning time before going out to work. Get up that little bit earlier, and just like, we like going for a walk in nature. It's a nice space, 10 minutes. You share what's live, and it just sets up the day for connection. You're not talking about practicalities of your day in this time. It's very easy to avoid intimacy. You could even be really progressive. I know a lot of you guys listening in are actually really engaging with the material. Hence, you keep coming back to the podcast. I get emails and messages saying how it's, you know, you're feeling, it's creating lots of progress, and I'm really happy for that. This one here is really simple. To slip into same shit, different day practicalities. You might even set the habit, and you're like, oh, here with your woman. It's like, here, let's do our king and queen talk or walk, or you mightn't call it that, but like, let's just have our space to share with each other. And what can happen very often is it just goes to mundane practicalities, like talking about the kids at school, or, oh, you know, like, what are we doing at the weekend, and like, all that stuff is important, but that's not what I'm speaking to here. This is really genuinely speaking the unspoken and keeping it out clear, and it's deep intimacy into me. You see, this is what's happening on the inside of me as I relate with you, as I'm going about here, and she gets to share the same with you in a safe, non-judgmental space. Keep it real. Keep it authentic. In the same time, it's not all about the difficult shit. Have it as a celebration of wins. Like, celebrate the wins that you're seeing in your woman. She can celebrate the wins she sees in you. Celebrate your collective wins. It's like, hey, honey, you know, like, we've been getting on better. It's like, of course you can say, you know, I've been listening to this amazing podcast. Be the husband she brags about. Of course. Link it back to this podcast. Only kidding. It's like, just celebrate your collective wins. Celebrate the progress. Celebrate, hey, honey, my beautiful. You know, it's like, it's so meaningful for me that we're not fighting as much recently and that we're having these beautiful chats. Like, I really appreciate that. I'm loving the connection. Celebrate your wins. It's so, so important. It's so exquisitely challenging. You, I, and any man that has entered the arena of marriage knows it's an exquisite challenge to show up in a way, in such a consistent way, kingly way, owning your shit, to create a marriage that works, that functions, where deep intimate sharing is a norm, where sexual attraction is the norm, where you're feeling sexually energized, walking around in your... in your truth, you move with nothing to prove, you are enough, sort of an embodiment. That's quite a challenging thing to do, as you tick the boxes of, like, what seems to be like an endless list of responsibilities that you have as a man in modern life. It's quite the challenge. So use this space to celebrate wins also. So coming into landing here, I mean, break out, do whatever. Like, my challenge to you is, do whatever is necessary to break out of the same shit, different day routine of small talk. You know, the breakfast, dinner, TV, social media, evenings, bed, repeat. Shift out of that. It takes about just 10 minutes every day where you create a space, a conscious space, and share your heart. Allow your woman share her heart about what's really live. And on a regular basis, you'll actually start the music. It's like the energy starts flowing and you start feeling heard and listened, and you're practicing deep listening for your woman, and she's feeling you and she's feeling your truth. She's feeling honored. And then that connection, just as you do one thing, you do all things. That quality time together spreads into other things. And you, now you're on an upward spiral. So I call it the king and queen walk. Find a time in the morning, lock it in before breakfast, before going off to work. Have your 10 minutes when you come in, sort of like as a just a grounding practice for both of you before you hit the evenings. Make the time. Whatever time suits you, I really challenge you. I invite you wholeheartedly to create this habit in your life. Otherwise, as I say, it's like the risks of a marriage falling apart from not having intimate sharing. You know, a deep intimate relationship without conversations that allow into me you see, that invitation to the inside. Well, if there's no intimacy, it's not a deep intimate relationship. If it's not there, you know, is a wine bottle a wine bottle if there's no wine in it? And this is the thing. So often, you know, we're like, the attitude is, oh, well, we're married. And it's like the act of being married is enough in itself. Well, that guarantees, you know, we're married. You know, we're stable, we're solid. To the masculine rational mind, that might seem like a thing. Like, oh, the ring is on the finger. We've signed the papers. Or whatever your unique spiritual version is of marriage. You know, like myself and my queen, we're not legally married, but by God, like energetic, we're married, we have our commitments, we did it our style. Whatever your style is of being married, I mean, just having a psychological statement or some bit of paper or a ring in a finger, that means nothing, actually. You know, a wine bottle, is it a wine bottle with no wine in it? Well, you might call it a wine bottle, but it's not fucking very enjoyable if there's no wine in it. Like, what enjoyment can you get from a wine bottle if there's no wine in it? What enjoyment can you get from a marriage if there's no deep intimacy in it? The honest answer from your woman to you, she's being really honest. Sweet fuck all enjoyment. And the woman will feel that. As you're getting your sort of dopamine kicks from work, external, working your body, you know, doing projects, you know, you're a football coach for your kids' team. You could be doing incredible things in life, in your community. But if you do not have a daily habit for deep, intimate, into me you see sharing with your woman is feeling dead in the inside. And she will seek to fill that tank of lack inside of her other ways, by getting busy, or she can, and many will, inevitably find another man who will do it for them. And I do not want that for you, and I know you do not want that for you, but I'm just laying it out. This, like, the cost long term of not having a deep, intimate sharing habitually treaded in, the cost can be enormous. So, get down to it. The challenge is, speak to your woman. This evening, this morning, wherever you are on the planet, the next day, set the habit, start sharing your heart. Let her see into your inside, share your heart, she shares yours, and live happily ever after. Always remembering, better husbands today, better world tomorrow. Go have an amazing kingly day.